Hey, if I haven't told you already, Sergeant War Dog TV has an app. It's now out on both the Apple App Store as well as the Google Play Store. Download it today. Find directions to Camp Doghouse. Hear all of our podcasts. The entire Sergeant's playlist. View pictures and get directions straight to Camp Doghouse, all from the app. Download today, Sergeant War Dog, baby, on the War Dog Trail. Salute. Be sure to follow Sergeant War Dog TV on social media. You can find Sergeant War Dog TV on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Vimeo, TikTok, and LinkedIn. Catch us online. Subscribe, like, and follow us. Salute.
Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DB Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DB Radio staff nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Let's go to war, baby!
All I know is war, all I know is shoot. All I want is more. I'm a soldier, I'm a warrior. Got a emblem on my cover. And ask me what I did for ya. I put the trash deep down under. Yeah, I'm a dog of war. Hell's what I've been through. I'm a dog of war. I did it all for you, yeah.
Hear all of our podcasts, the entire Sergeant's playlist, view pictures, and get directions straight to Camp Doghouse, all from the app. Download today, Sergeant War Dog, baby, on the War Dog Trail. Salute. Be sure to follow Sergeant War Dog TV on social media. You can find Sergeant War Dog TV on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Vimeo, TikTok, and LinkedIn. Catch us online. Subscribe, like, and follow us. Salute. Welcome back to the War Dog Trail. This is Sergeant War Dog, and we are now into episode 23. In this episode, I am going to get up close and personal with you and divulge my struggles with my PTSD demons. All right. I'm going to open up for the first time to the world how I went from three-time Iraq veteran and Marine sergeant and rifleman and grunt to psychiatric patient. And to this day, it baffles me that it happened. But considering the amount of combat that I saw, that my entire unit saw, that I know plenty of veterans around this country have seen, I want you to know that it's okay if you experience any of these conditions with PTSD or issues with other mental health disorders, such as major depressive disorder, which I have, personality disorder, which I have, bipolar disorder, which I have, paranoid schizophrenia, which I have, you struggle with any of these other issues, mood swings, I want you to know they're all normal, okay? Given the circumstances of war that we experienced together, all right? Very few in this country or in this world who have not experienced combat or have been in war will understand why you are the way you are. Except another war veteran like myself or the thousands of men and women around this country that silently know exactly what you're talking about, what you're going through, and are probably experiencing some things themselves. And not necessarily learning to cure it, because there is no cure for it, but learning to endure and cope much better than we have in the past with it. I'm hoping that you were able to see or able to grasp the entire point of the War Dog Trail so far up to this point. It hasn't been a story of just, you know, what my military career was like. It's been a full path so that you understand how I went from, you know, an excellent high school student that graduated with honors to a Marine, to a Marine infantryman, to combat veteran after 1, 2, 3 tours, to actually doing fine as a civilian during my transition, doing fine during the first 2.5, 3 years out, attending college, UCF full-time, working as a full-time armed security officer, and also, you know, able to have my own apartment, so, you know, housing or anything like that wasn't an issue. And I went from all of that, from fine in high school with honors, you know, scoring a 90 on the ASVAB, doing well, handling the war, handling all of the macho, the physical, the grind side of the infantry, of the grunts, of the Marine grunts, handling the hectic side of going to war from the first day of the Iraq war to the subsequent tours that I told you about in these episodes, to my eventual demise in October, on October 11th, October 4th of 2008, I completely lost my mind and lost every sense of what normalcy was in my life. At that time, as I mentioned in the previous episode, I had been beginning to remember things from the war, you know, having those intrusive thoughts that I hadn't thought about, and for incidents that I hadn't thought about in years. I mean, you know, things that I had never, here I was in 2008, I'd gone to Iraq in 03, 04, and 05. Here I was in 2008 having memories about things that happened. And for me, it's always been categorized, you know, like, did it happen on the first tour when I was 19? Did it happen on the second tour when I was 20? Which city were we in? Were we in Fallujah at the time? Were we in Baghdad? Were we somewhere near the Euphrates River? Were we, you know what I mean? I have to categorize all these incidents and memories and, you know, contacts, firefights, IEDs, IED blasts, injuries of my own, losses of buddies. I have to categorize them from, okay, not just did this happen in my life, but it happened so often that we're talking about when it happened the second time around. We're talking when it happened the third tour. We're talking the very first time when we all crossed the border for the first time. I mean, where are these memories and flashbacks and things coming from? That's what I have to deal with and identify and rationalize on a daily basis when my memories or flashbacks do appear as they do. And like I said, I wanted you to see the full picture from not just someone who was there in the country, but a Marine rifleman. And you know, riflemen aren't there to shake hands or bake cookies. You can imagine what I was doing, what all of the Marine riflemen were doing when it came down to combat, and what we had to do to other individuals in order to survive and in order to carry out our missions. So I started to have, you know, really bad memories about things that were going on during the war that I never remembered, that I never thought about, that had never crossed my mind. under any circumstances. But everything seemed to come back. It came back in a major way. It flooded me. I mean, so many memories that way. It might have been one thing to have, you know, just a random weird dream here or there. And I say weird dream because they were never nightmares to me. They didn't scare me the way nightmares as a child had. But they did, just seem odd, weird, peculiar. They might be pieces of the war with pieces of childhood and, you know, then wake up. And times when I know for a fact, and you all know as warfighters and veterans, we went through many years sleep deprived because of the nature of the work we're doing and because of the 24-hour nature of our business. But in combat, when you go through years of sleep deprivation, it can lead you to later on have extreme sleep problems, whether it's falling asleep, staying asleep, or, you know, having bad dreams and nightmares during the night, waking up in cold sweats, waking up punching walls, waking up yelling in Arabic, accidentally being touched by your spouse or significant other, and you going into defensive moves or postures because of you thought you were being attacked in your sleep or you were about to be killed by a significant other. All these things are a part of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. You've been under so much duress, so much stress. You've been literally hunted, and you've literally had potential threats on your life for so long that it has affected your ability to function, your ability to find peace, to have peace, to take care of business and do things as you normally would in your life. Sometimes the pause button is seriously pressed when PTSD comes into effect because it halts every single thing that you might have had going on and forces you to face and deal with some of those issues from the war that you might have suppressed, forgotten about, intentionally, you know, ignored. PTSD, though, is a motherfucker, man, I'll say. And it forces you to confront all of those issues that you have not completely dealt with in the past from the war, from your combat experiences. So in October of 2008, October 4th, I happened to go out downtown Orlando with some friends. I had been a little depressed, the days and weeks leading up to that outing, because like I told you, things from the war started to come back. Feelings that I had not expressed in terms of losing buddies, I hadn't been able to feel much or cry during the war or in the country because, the nature of where we were and because we still had to continue fighting. But afterwards, I was starting to think of my buddies and starting to hurt, man, starting to really remember who they were and memories we had together. And things started to hurt in terms of whether it was losing buddies, whether it was certain sights of having to see maimed or wounded fellow Marines. Everything just kind of came back and flooded me, overwhelmed me to the point that I stopped wanting to. And remember, I told you this is back when I was going to college full time at UCF and working full time as a security officer, but I had times where I simply could not move, could not leave the house, the bed, the couch, couldn't get up, couldn't find the will, the energy, couldn't find the passion to do anything other than exist. And I don't mean like, for me, I was not experiencing any of this while also having substance abuse problems. My only issue was using smoking cigarettes back then, which I picked up during the war to cope with things that I was seeing and doing. So that was the only thing that I still did after the war. I didn't have a heavy drinking problem or anything, because like I said, I was still being I was still working for defense contractors and for security companies, so I was still being given drug tests and whatnot. I was clean, always fine there. But even without substance abuse issues, I started having heavy depression and flashbacks. So I was invited out out on the town once with some friends of mine. We went to downtown Orlando, and all I can remember is afterwards seeing skyscrapers. For anyone who's been fired at by snipers multiple times on multiple occasions, and for my particular case or story, multiple years in a row, once you see skyscrapers and you see all those buildings and windows and all those places that a sniper could have a nice nest or hide set up, you start to have issues and flashbacks about that, about you not having any cover or your weapon or backpack or gear or helmet while you're out in the middle of your regular day. You look up some of these buildings, you remember times when you were engaged and shot at by snipers, but now, like I said, you have no fellow Marines or teammates around you. You have no gun, backpack, rifle, machine gun. You can't call a helicopter to come help you now. You are facing battles with your own mind, your own memories. And that's what I was going through on that evening. Now, at some point, I was encountered by the police department. And they seemed to notice that I was going through, you know, stages of PTSD, because at one point they heard me yell out, "Sniper, you know, sniper at 2 o'clock. And they later told me that even they, you know, took cover and started to look over, because they, you know, they thought that I saw, you know, I was actually calling out something, you know, that they needed to be worried about too. When I was actually, you know, reliving my own flashbacks right there on the streets of Orlando that night. At one point, I did ask the police to shoot me in the head, put a bullet in my head, and, you know, take me out of my misery, because I couldn't beat any of the memories and the demons and the bodies, faces, the maggots, the anger, the hatred, the women screaming. I couldn't beat all of the things that were going through my head, the memories that were flooding me and that were reminding me of my time in Iraq, but I was unable to get past. I had to be at that time hospitalized by the Orlando police. Once they realized that, you know, hey, I wasn't on substances, and they ran my background, they realized I wasn't, you know, I didn't have a criminal record or anything. I was simply going through, you know, true to life PTSD experiences. And with some of them having been in their own gunfights and firefights as police officers, and some of them possibly being veterans, they saw my wallet. They were able to see my Marine ID, that I was still on the individual ready reserve. My background already stated that I was a rifleman with 3 tours. So what I was going through that evening and seeing snipers and skyscrapers, they were truly able to understand what I was going through. And that helped in terms of them not tossing me into the drunk tank and charging me with any kind of, you know, public intoxication or anything that would have led to a criminal record, but instead seeing that I was going through the actual stages of post-traumatic stress disorder, and actually finding help for me and having me placed in a facility for a holding period and observed until I could calm down and become coherent again. Now, from that experience, I'll tell you, and you know, I know people have their have their myths and their stereotypes about what it's like to be in psychiatric facility, a psych ward, an insane asylum, a state hospital, a mental hospital, a mental facility, the loony bin, the crazy house. You have your names for it. I'm here to tell you, yes, as Sergeant War Dog, before I was able to get on my feet and create Sergeant War Dog, I had to be a psychiatric patient for my PTSD because I'd gotten so either out of touch with reality and not knowing what was real and snipers were real or IEDs or trash bags. Or there's a time it bothered me to even attempt to change the oil on my car because I was worried about the cars blowing up. I was really paranoid about vehicle-borne IEDs, VBIDs, VBIEDs, car bombs. I was really, really paranoid about doing anything under a hood and then the entire car blowing, because I do have Marine buddies that did pass away from bombs and attacks in that way. So yes, I did have to be hospitalized. What I can remember from that first hospitalization with me going in and out and blacking out is I had to be given a tranquilizer known as that we joke inside the hospitals as patients, we call it the silver bullet. I had to be given a tranquilizer because I was so, you know, hyped up and worried about those snipers during that night in Orlando that tranquilizer shot put me down for 2 days, man. So if you can imagine, the incident happened on, like, say, a Friday evening. I didn't wake up until Sunday morning. I mean, yes, there were times in between being transported to from the hospital or into an ambulance that I woke up and, you know, remembered little bits and pieces here and there and saw things and passed back out. But I didn't fully wake up and, you know, comprehend things and come to.
Excuse me.
And become coherent again. Excuse me. Become coherent again. Until about 2 days later, man. It took about 48 hours for that silver bullet to wear off and for it to allow me to, you know, touch reality again and realize where I was. And now at that time, once I realized I was in an actual psychiatric facility with other patients, with other individuals who were suffering from conditions much different and much worse than me and PTSD, that's when I really started to lose my shit. I started to try to figure out, damn, what happened to me? What did I do? Did I lose my mind? Where am I at? Why am I here? Why am I around people that act this way? And again, you gotta understand how weird this is for me to go from, you know, I had just been, or I still was, a college student, former Marine rifleman, to go from all of these things and accolades to now a psych patient, where I was treated like an it, like a thing, like just a number with another case. I can't explain to you how humbling, embarrassing, and shocking all of that was for me at the same time, to try to figure out what had happened to me, what had I done, what had happened to my mind. I had even gone through stages of feeling embarrassment as a Marine. I was feeling ashamed that the Marines would, you know, look down upon me for having, you know, lost my mind or having broken some way after the fact. Or any of my fellow Marines that I served with, I thought they might have been upset with me or looked down upon me because of the fact that, hey, I never had a problem during the war in terms of being ready, staying hot, staying ready to go no matter which tour, which year, which age or birthday. Never had any problems, ready to roll. But yes, afterwards, 2.5 to 3 years after leaving active duty, while living in my own apartment, doing well, attending college full time, working full time, I lost my mind and ended up in a mental hospital for the first time. So this Marine hit went from decorated and feeling great about who I was so far in life from 18, 19, 21 to 22 to now at 24 falling, almost 25, falling to my knees and losing my mind and babbling, stuttering, going from a well-spoken and well-informed college student at UCF to now, like I said, babbling, stuttering, barely able to get out coherent thoughts, full sentences, being somewhat paranoid to go out to check my mailbox because I didn't have my gear on. I didn't have my helmet, my gun, my vest. Being paranoid about standing in lines when not knowing whoever the person was behind me and how easily they could, you know, stab me once, shoot me, do anything to me from behind, and I'd never have a chance again at life. Because, you know, mindsets like that had really been instilled in me during the war, that I only had one chance and one time to do things right or to defend certain actions if you want to live. So that mindset of, I guess, constant vigilance and later paranoia really gave me a hard time after my three tours in Iraq in terms of my transition into being a civilian and having to deal with PTSD and its initial phases, its initial effects on me. So after I was hospitalized that first time, I did immediately seek help at the VA. I did get enrolled into the VA healthcare system. I'm not ashamed to say that I was put on meds, and that the meds did help me tremendously. They did help me at times, balance me out, help me with sleep, that sort of thing. But they did not completely cure me for all of my symptoms. So I did need to, again, be hospitalized first time in 2008, twice again in 2010, and then twice again in 2013. So that's five times total that I know didn't have any problems going in and out of jail or prison, but I did have problems with needing meds adjusted, with me being either hyper, too hyper, and want to go to war, and want to go to Syria, or want to go back to Fallujah or Baghdad again, or too low and never wanted to leave anywhere, talk to anyone, have anything to do with anything, because it was starting to hit me. You know, some of the things that we'd done in Iraq, things that I'd seen, it was bothering me that people were saying we didn't, you know, once it was discovered that we didn't find any WMDs, that bothered me after all the missions I know I'd gone on looking for them. The website that kept track of Iraq civilian body deaths, I want to say it was Iraq. I can't think of the name of it right now, but that website really bothered me as a Marine because I couldn't help but eventually have a little bit of moral guilt and feeling that for every displaced Iraqi person or dead civilian, maybe me individually as a Marine, I didn't, but there were at times I did take a part as the U.S. military in some of those actions that took their lives or that wounded them severely. So even that started to bother me. I mean, like I said, I went from a didn't give a fuck U.S. Marine grunt and rifleman ready to take out any motherfucker that was put on my mission list to actually starting to have feelings about shit, actually feel some type of way. And it's my first time ever feeling any kind of way, because I never allowed those feelings in, and because the nature of being a Marine at war didn't allow those feelings in to begin with. All those feelings, like I said, of you being the guy that did survive when your buddies didn't, I really had a hard time knowing that I had no dependents, no wife or children, that I was prepared to die as a grunt, but there were those men that and women that did have children and spouses, and they did end up losing their lives and their family members lost them, when that could have been me who'd had no dependents and was ready to go as a grunt, was ready to give my life, was completely dialed in and signed on to sacrifice my complete being for the defense of this nation as a Marine grunt. That's how serious I took and how serious I take my career, my mission, the life I chose as a Marine and as a war dog, as a person who chases and knows nothing but war because of the choice, the path that life has led them on. So I'm hoping now that you have been through all these episodes with along the War Dog Trail, you're starting to see that this wasn't so much about me. This is only my one individual tale of how I went from being a high school student, and like I said, graduating with honors, to a decorated Marine infantry rifleman with 3 tours in Iraq, to a psych patient in 5 different facilities, all for mental health disorders related to my service in Iraq. Because I didn't have any other issues. I wasn't struggling with hard drugs or homelessness. Only thing I did back then was smoke cigarettes, chain smoke cigarettes at that, to help me deal with things that I'd seen and done, because that was what my coping mechanism during the war was, just to have cigarettes. So that continued to be my coping mechanism after the war. But that wasn't enough when it came to the battle of PTSD at times, the battle against PTSD, because I didn't realize how powerful PTSD can be, how debilitating it can be once your mind and body are locked into certain modes of fear or anxiety or anger or relentless rage. You have to be careful and watch out for who you are, what you're doing, what you're thinking about. You have to remember that you're a trained killer. You are a naturally trained fighting machine. So within a heartbeat, your anger, you can do, 3 to 5 seconds, you could already have someone on the ground in a way that criminally can really get you charged and put in bad situations. On the civilian side of things, you have to forever be cognizant that you, as a war veteran, as a trained killer, you do have these skills that others don't possess, and that if you are, pushed to want to use those skills, you can create a lot of damage. You can hurt, harm, and kill people, whether that's on purpose or by accident, because of the nature of who you are, how you are, and the fact that those skills are what kept you alive during the war. Those are the skills you needed to deal with the motherfuckers that were coming after you and your fellow service members, your fellow teammates. But here on the outside, on the civilian side of things, you have to learn to taper all that down and constantly be aware of your mood and your actions. Constantly be aware of the fact that when you get mad or pissed off, it's not like any others. It's not like most others that have not experienced combat, because they don't have that extreme fuck it side, or that extreme side of, that extra oomph that you needed and that you exhibited to survive. And that's what we have to be careful of. There are times when it was okay to push that extreme button, or that button of recklessness during war, that we now as civilians cannot and are not allowed to push because of the nature of who and where we are now in society. You're living in a peaceful area now, in a peaceful zone. And I have to admit, it did at one time even bother me that, I thought everyone, family members, police, judges, everyone would always understand that, hey, you had been through war. You did the real thing. You can prove it. You can prove through your Department of Defense record, your DD-214 and whatnot, hey, you were doing the real shit. You were actually a door-kicking type of person. You did engage in combat to where you shot at people. You were shot back at. You might have taken lives. You might have lost buddies. You can prove all of this. I thought if you did anything related to violence or having PTSD-related disorders, that society would look upon you with a little bit of understanding. And what I came to find out is society actually doesn't look at that as understanding. Instead, they look at it as more of as a problem. The problem being you were not able to compartmentalize keeping that violent nature or that PTSD nature of yourself compartmentalized into only who you were as a military service member. They don't want to know or hear or see that it also spilled over into your life as a father, mother, parent, brother, sister. Most civilians don't want to know or hear or see that your military service in any way affected you in a catastrophic or debilitating way that spills over into your other aspects of your life, be that work, family, social relationships. People don't want to see that it affected you in that way. But I'm here to tell you, as the poster boy for what a psycho Marine actually is, looks like, acts like, and is on the road to recovery from, hey, you can still beat it, man. You can still get yourself into therapy, get yourself into help, find the right doctors, the right medications, and find the will to live again, the will to keep your moods and mental health disorder under wraps and in check, and to always remember that it is now your duty and your responsibility. In the same way that you were responsible for you having a weapon and knowing where that weapon was and whether or not it was loaded or unsafe or not, you now have a loaded mental condition that can harm yourself or others by the ways it affects you, your moods, your attitudes, the ways you speak to people, the ways you may experience antisocial moods or behaviors and not want to be bothered, all of which is okay, but civilians don't understand. That's why I am here as Sergeant War Dog to let you know, hey, dog, it's fine to be that way. I'm telling you as a Marine grunt who's been there 3 times on the front lines that whatever you experience now is fine. Don't look at it as being unusual, weird, strange. Why? Because I go through it too, dog. And there are thousands of us that experience it. And it's not a weird thing when you put it under the context of who we are, what we've done, how we've had to live, how we've had to change our modes of survival, our everyday modes of living in order to fight these motherfuckers that we have to fight against in defense of this great nation of ours. All right, man. At this time, I'm going to take a break, bring you right into the Sergeant's Playlist. Enjoy.
Days, the artist. A subtle kiss that no one sees. A broken wrist and a bitch of peace. Oh well, I don't mind if you don't mind. Cause I don't shine if you don't shine. Before you go, can you read my mind? It's funny how you just break down, waiting on some sign. I pull up to the front of your driveway with magic soaking my spine. Can you read my mind? Can you read my mind? The teenage queen, the loaded gun, a drop dead dream, the chosen one, a southern draw, a world unseen, a city wall and a trampoline. Oh well, I don't mind if you don't mind, cause I don't shine if you don't shine. Before you jump, tell me what you find. Slipping in my faith until I fall. He never returned that call. A woman opened the door, don't let it sting. I wanna breathe that fire again. She said, I don't mind if you don't mind, cause I don't shine if you don't shine. Put your back on me, put your back on. Put your back on me. Ooh. The stars are blazing like rebel diamonds cut out of the sun when you read my mind.
Okay, that was Madeline Rosine with her song, The Killers Read My Mind. Madeline can be found on Instagram at Madeline Rosine. That's Rosine spelled R-O-S-E-N-E. Madeline, at Madeline Rosine on Instagram and also on Twitter at Madeline Rosine. Again, that was her song, The Killers Read My Mind, from the Sergeant's Playlist. This episode, I truly opened up to you about my struggles and my history with PTSD struggles after my 3 tours in Iraq as a Marine rifleman and sergeant. I will continue with this podcast to open up in this way. I'm hoping that it helps any of our fellow veterans around the world, around the country, that are having their own struggles, are wondering what's going on, what's wrong with them, why are things so different compared to how they were, why do things feel so different, why are they so different than civilians that they've known all their lives, why do they not complain about things that civilians do complain about. Why are you unique? I'm telling you why. Because you're a bona fide war veteran and you're all right. You're fine. You're just like me. You've just been through a lot of war, been through a lot of hell, been through a lot of shit, and you happen to have survived. And so it molds your mind and your eyes on the way you see and think and feel about everything and the way you view the world also. Hey, this is Sergeant War Dog. I'm going to conclude episode 23 at this time. Now, three things quickly. Remember, you can catch this podcast airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on DV Radio, on the DV Radio Network. In this case, DV stands for Dysfunctional Veterans. The DV Radio Network can be found on dvradio.net, or while the show is airing live on Wednesdays at 7 p.m., you can use the Live 365 app, or on demand, you can catch the episodes on the Podbean app, and you search for DV Radio or Dysfunctional Veterans, and you can access the show or the podcast there. Now, second, Sergeant War Dog TV, the web series, does have an app. The app's available on both the Apple App Store as well as Google Play. The app has a section for podcasts, and you can hear each and every one of our episodes on demand there from the app on your own. Third, and finally, you can catch us on social media. Sergeant War Dog TV can be found on Patreon, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Vimeo, LinkedIn, and our website, SergeantWarDogTV.com. Also, please check us out on Instagram, where we have our most followers. We are well over 60, 70,000 followers at this time with Sergeant War Dog TV on our Instagram page, where we are brand ambassadors. We have sponsors. We actually act as influencers also for several brands in the outdoors TV industry. Okay, this has been Sergeant War Dog. The War Dog Trail, episode 23, opening up to you about my trials and tribulations and demons fighting with PTSD. Salute.
All I know is war. All I know is shoot. All I want is more. But I got some things to do. I'm a dog of war. Hell's what I've been through. I'm a dog of war. I did it all for you.
DV Radio.